in and you close the thing and you get a 20-minute nap, but then you go on about your day.
All right. Well, Melissa and I are going to go hang out in a nap pod. Separate ones.
Very separate.
And we'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WMV. I'm just going to go.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Breaking news out of Iran. Over 70 people were killed when twin explosions blasted at a cemetery there. CBS's Cami McCormick with details.
Qasem Soleimani was killed by a U.S. drone strike at Baghdad's airport 4 years ago. Today, thousands gathered in Iran to mark his death when explosions rang out. Iranian officials are calling it a terrorist attack. Soleimani was head of Iran's Al-Quds force.
An investigation into a deadly collision between two planes in Tokyo has found the passenger jet was given permission to land while the Coast Guard was not cleared for takeoff. But CBS's Elizabeth Palmer tells us.
I have to say that the Coast Guard aircraft's pilot still says that he did have permission to proceed.
Reaction to the death of a top Hamas official. CBS's Ian Lee is in Tel Aviv.
Protests erupted in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah after last night's assassination of a senior Hamas leader in Lebanon, an attack that threatens to further inflame the region.
Lawmakers are taking a field trip to the southern border today as several crossings will reopen tomorrow. CBS's Margaret Brennan is in Eagle Pass, Texas.
Immigration is one of the top issues in this country for voters. We see that in our CBS polling data, and Republicans have made that one of their signature policy issues. Speaker Johnson will be down here at Eagle Pass along with around 50 or so Republican lawmakers.
The trip comes as the number of migrants crossing the southern borders dropped after reaching an all-time high in December. Wintertime always brings more runny noses, coughs, and sneezes, but health officials are super concerned about a big increase in respiratory viruses nationwide. Dr. Nirav Shah is the principal deputy director for the CDC.
If you are getting sick, one of the best things you can do from there, in addition to taking care of yourself, is limit how many other people you expose.
In other words, stay at home. More than half of the country right now is seeing a spike in COVID, flu, and RSV. Was your New Year's resolution to lose some weight? Some diets are better than others. U.S. News and World Report ranked them. Managing editor Gretel Scholler.
Four of the diets that we ranked offer weight loss medications to those that are eligible.
They include drugs like Ozempic. But if you're just trying to eat right, for the seventh consecutive year, the Mediterranean diet landed on top. Ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, stocks are lower. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 16 and 17-year-olds in Wisconsin need to take a road test again in order to get their driver's licenses. The Division of Motor Vehicles is ending its COVID-era road test waiver. The state issued about 170,000 licenses to new drivers during the waiver. The DMV says the waiver did not make the roads any less safe, but decided to end the waiver anyway. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no let-up in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potthoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Many hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The first baby of 2024 has been named from the Wausau area. He was delivered at the Marshfield Medical Center in Weston early Monday morning at 1:15. Here's Brittany Merlot with the details.
Baby Shavi is 22.5 inches long and weighs 9 pounds 12 ounces. In 2023, they had 411 total births at the Weston Hospital. Violet, Sophia, Mia, Emma, Eleanor, Charlotte, and Brooklyn were the top girl names. Parker, Hudson, Noah, Theodore, and Wesley were the top boy names.
Christmas trees in the village of Plover will be picked up during the April spring cleanup. If you want to get rid of it earlier, the Spash Trap Shooting Club will pick it up for $10 for their fundraiser. You need to call Mabel Volker by tomorrow, January 4th, to schedule pickup on January 6th. Mabel's number is 715-572-5278. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing drizzle chances early, flipping to flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. Right now, it's 30.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it's treating you good. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your day.
Oh, yeah.
We got good stuff lined up for you this hour. I'm going to get into a couple of interesting ones. Melissa sent over a topic that I could not wait to get into. 10 things we learned about our human ancestors in 2023. Mm-hmm. We'll be getting into
very
that.
Interesting.
We've also got a couple of other fun ones we want to get into. Words that need to be banished. We've got to talk on that. That is coming up. And plenty more. We also have, of course, we'll wrap up the show with some That Ain't Right stuff, good stories of the day, local news, and all of that. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're kicking off with entertainment. And if you haven't heard, I encourage you to look into this one, everybody, because this is a pretty... I'm not really big on celebrity fights or beefs or anything like that. Okay. This one's entertaining to me, though, I got to admit. It's possible that in the very near future, a judge will release a list of people that need to handle their business finally. You know, we're going to have an actual court system say, you two, you've been bickering long enough. Let's get it on. Let's do it. And put them in a ring or put them in the same room and make them debate. I don't know. But Aaron Rodgers has been given a pulpit with the Pat McAfee show. He goes on there and he talks, and Pat doesn't use follow-up questions, doesn't drill him, doesn't press him, doesn't use any facts or any basis to have a conversation. He just, hey, it's Aaron Rodgers. Pat McAfee reminds me of...
speak.
Pat McAfee reminds me of that guy who always hung around the star quarterback or the most popular kid in school, and he was just basically a hype man.
The coattails.
Yeah, just riding coattails. That's all he did. I don't know why Pat McAfee chose to do this with Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't need him. I think you can make an argument that Pat McAfee is just as famous or as popular as Aaron Rodgers. His show is one of the biggest...
More to some people.
Yeah. Pat McAfee's show is huge. Everybody loves his show. I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people love his show. ESPN sure does. They paid him a lot of money to go on to have the Pat McAfee show. And in part, because he has this weekly segment with Aaron Rodgers that goes on there. Aaron doesn't do interviews, doesn't talk to anybody else, only Pat McAfee pretty much. And part of the reason he does that, and he only talks to Pat McAfee, is so he can go on there and just spill.
Say what he wants.
He was on the Pat McAfee show the other day and said he said he'll, quote, be popping some sort of bottle when this list of Jeffrey Epstein's contacts comes out or something. What this has to do with sports, by the way, I have no idea. He also suggested that Jimmy Kimmel's name would be on that list. And Jimmy Kimmel does not take these kind of things lightly.
I wouldn't think so.
Jimmy tweeted, dear blank. two words I cannot say on the air.
Oh, he didn't just write blank?
Yeah. For the record, I've not met, flown with, visited, or had any contact whatsoever with Epstein, nor will you find my name on any, quote, list other than the clearly phony nonsense that soft-brained wackos like yourself can't seem to distinguish from reality. Your reckless words put my family in danger. Keep it up, and we will debate the facts further in court.
Ooh.
I would love to see that. I would love to see Jimmy Kimmel and Aaron Rodgers in a courtroom having to go through, like having to face this. I would love to see Aaron Rodgers have to actually face his words. Like Aaron Rodgers is one of these guys where he thinks he is always the smartest person in the room, no matter who's in the room with him.
Being reckless.
And it's not just that he thinks that. He has to prove it. He has to try to prove it. He's one of these people that he can't handle his name and people not talking about him. I cannot imagine
his head completely.
This is him while he's playing. What is he going to be like when he retires? Like that,
it has been.
It's going to be it's going to be interesting. All right, I don't know if everybody could feel that, but as I was talking about this story, I heard a humongous sigh from the whole state of Wisconsin. Just a, so glad to be done with this. So glad to be
nice
done with.
If we wouldn't ever have to hear that name again.
Mm. Oh that, yeah, that would be interesting. It's one thing. I am a big believer in questioning everything. I think that's important in life. I also believe that once, what's 2 + 2? I need to know. What is 2 + 2? 4. Okay, cool. Go. Science says it's 4. All right, cool. Let's move on. There's more things. I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of things I want to know. Let's move on. You get answers and you get facts. You know, move on. There's only so much you can do from that.
The answers make sense. You've checked them from a couple sources. Okay, you're good.
The certain section of society that gets these things, and whether it is Hillary's emails or the Jeffrey Epstein list or any of these things that they cannot let go of, you got people that are still barking about the 2020 election and these things. Like, there is so much on our plate as a society. Democrat, Republican, Independent, anybody. Man, woman, dog, cat, it doesn't matter. We've got a lot on our plate. We got a big world to fix here and a lot going on. Let's focus. Let's put our energy where it needs to be. These things, for one, are going to work themselves out. Two, everything comes to light. Nothing is hidden anymore. Do you really think in this day and age, in 2024, that anybody can keep anything hidden, really? Like, if you're worried about this Epstein list, if you're worried about this or that, it's going to come out. It's going to come forward. And it's not going to come forward because of knuckleheads like Aaron Rodgers. It's going to come forward because of people that you don't even know the names of. People that are actually doing real work, real journalism, or real whistleblowers. People who are actually going to come forward and share true information. Not some wannabe celebrity who can't handle not being in the public eye every 15 seconds.
It would behoove us more to focus on the things that actually affect us on a day-to-day basis, like housing crisis, child poverty, our healthcare issues. Those are our real problems that affect us every day.
Did we figure out cancer yet? Have we solved cancer? No? Okay, then we got other things to do. We got more important things to do. And I'm not taking these other things lightly. I'm not saying that they aren't important, but
no,
they certainly...
issues.
Yeah, but they... I mean, the point of talking about them and spending as much time as people do on them and everything, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's a distraction tactic, James.
Yeah. Yes. That's a big...
It's distracting us from what the actual issues and the actual problems that our politicians should be taking care of and aren't, because they're too busy throwing up these smoke screens of, oh, but worry about this. Worry about this. This is far more important. Ah, no. We need to fix kids getting meals, getting a good education, being able to go to the doctor when they need to. Those are the problems that we need to fix.
Very well said. I agree with every word. I need more of you doing fake yelling. I really like that. That was really good. That was really good. Ah!
The hands were up in the air, too.
I could see
it. I wobbled my head around. It was like a bobblehead.
I could picture it. It was great. Let's dive into this one. Let's talk. I need a palate cleanser already after that story. Snoop Dogg will assist NBC in covering this summer's Olympics in Paris as part of the primetime coverage.
Really?
I love this.
That's going to be great.
Snoop will explore city landmarks, attend competitions and events, and visit with the athletes and their friends and families. He says, quote, "We're going to have some amazing competitions, and of course, I will be bringing the Snoop style to the mix. let's elevate, celebrate, and make these games unforgettable. Let's smoke the competition. and may the best shine with like gold. Peace and Olympic love, ya dig?" The Summer Olympics kick off July 26th. You can catch him on NBC and Peacock. I certainly will be watching.
I hope he brings friends.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
I don't know. Some of the matchups are just hilarious. Snoop and Martha Stewart.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I was going to say, I think that if you don't know a lot about him, you just know Snoop and you know, the kind of public persona of him and everything. You might not see this fitting, but if you've seen him with Martha Stewart, if you've seen him doing sideline reporting before, he's actually really good at this. He's very well spoken. He really does a nice job of giving the person he's interviewing the time. Like he takes a step back and lets them have the moment. That's what a good interviewer is supposed to do. And he's engaging. He's very easy to talk to. Yeah, people have a very easy time to talk. And he's very tall, so he's going to be able to get to a lot of people that not all reporters will be able to. So that is that.
He doesn't have to climb into the stands. He could just lean over.
In all seriousness, the Olympics, it's the weirdest thing. Since we were kids, Melissa, people have fought over, we want the Olympics on our station. We want the Olympics on our station. And then they get the Olympics, and every year we hear ratings going down or ratings not being what they should be. But advertisers continue to put tons of money into the commercial breaks and into the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this kind of tug of war thing that goes on where NBC, who's had the Olympics for quite a while, are trying to get viewers, and at the same time, they are doing fine with advertisers. It's a weird balance. So they can take chances, and they can do some things while also trying to kind of bring in new people. The Summer Olympics are going to be one of the biggest Olympics of our lifetime. At least for us as Americans, and I'm saying this as a complete homer. We've got so many great American athletes going over there. We have so many great opportunities to just come back with tons of gold and silver. This is going to be a really, really fun Olympics, I think. Simone Biles alone is going to be the exciting part of the Olympics to me. I can't imagine, you know, all the other competitors. It's going to be a really fun one.
Yeah, and having Snoop Dogg there it should draw some extra attention, I would think.
Yeah, you know, if I'm NBC, if this brings me 50, 100 new eyeballs, I'm good. That's good. That seems good to me.
Well, you're probably hoping for 50 million new eyeballs, but sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very good point. Very good point. I wanted to also wrap up our entertainment talking a little bit about the Glass Menagerie.
Yeah, that's coming up. The auditions are tonight again.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, you said you went to auditions last night. You went to just as a friend to support Seth, as a fan, or?
No, I went to audition.
I was really hoping that was the case. Awesome. That's awesome. Oh, good on you. Good on you for doing
that. There were a lot of great people there. And so I'm excited to see what happens tonight. And hopefully we get more people come out and try. To audition, and it's a fun show.
Yeah, this is going to be a very different experience for theater heads and for people out there that have wanted to do something. Maybe you're a part of, you audition for every show. Maybe you're able to be a part of certain times of the year. I know a lot of people are able to try out for the Christmas show or for this show or something. But you've never been a part of a show like this. This is a completely different experience than most any of us. Even somebody like me, who has done over 1,000 shows and everything, I've never done anything like this, what Seth and his team are going to do with the Glass Menagerie. It's really cool.
It sounds like he's going a different direction as far as how the staging is going to go. Simple set, but because it's a dream play, which is how Tennessee Williams describes this show, Seth is going to incorporate some multimedia angles into this.
Mm-hmm. This is an ambitious and exciting project, and encourage people to check it out. If you don't feel like auditioning and being on stage, they could always use people behind the scenes. You can go ahead and throw your hat and your name in the ring for that, and reach out to Seth and the team at WRCT for that, and show up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Auditions.
See you there.
Yeah, auditions are at 6:30 over at the WRCT Auditorium. Be sure to stop on by over there. Say hi to the team and break a leg, everybody. Have a great audition. Have a lot of fun, and good luck to you, Seth. You're going to have a good one here.
Yeah. his directorial debut at WRCT.
Yeah. The Glass Menagerie and much more you can find out about WRCT. Go over to their website, wrctheater.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow. And be on the lookout for some new commercials from our friends at WRCT. That's going to be fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, coming up. Right now, we're going to go ahead and take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Wisconsin Public Schools open doors for all students. I'm Peggy Wirtz Olson, a Wisconsin teacher and president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Public school educators and families work together to reach, teach, and inspire Wisconsin's next generation of leaders. As we head back to school, we hope you'll join us. WEAC, we teach, we inspire. Find out more at weac.org.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing drizzle chances early, flipping to flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. Right now, it's 30.
Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Got Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive into another topic, another fun one here, Melissa. I want to get into a little bit after our news break. We'll get into 10 things we learned about our ancestors.
Okay.
Want to be able to take some time with that one, so we'll get into that in a little bit. For right now, let's talk about words that need to be banished.
Okay.
It's a new year. Maybe it's a good time to reboot our vocabs. Maybe our lexicons could use a little refresher. Want everybody to get real agog about this.
Oh, jeepers.
Because it's exciting. It's fun. No. So Lake Superior State University in Michigan released its annual list of words and phrases that need to be banished in the new year. And of course, they say that in a fun way. They don't mean that in an incredibly serious way.
We're actually canceling these words.
Right. I feel like nowadays we have to be a little careful with that. We need to stop this. Bark.
Be careful with your words about words.
Yeah. Yes. Let's go ahead and dive into these, Melissa. And they're not in any particular order.
No, just rhyme or reason to this.
Yeah. Just like hack is the number one on here. Hack, like life hack or this hack. You know.
We've been hearing that a lot, I would say, over the last couple years, especially with the life hacks.
Yeah, I don't see that one going away, but I could see people looking for a new term, new way to. You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Impact. Especially as a verb instead of effect, makes a big impact.
This is going to impact your life.
Yeah.
Is it though?
Is it though? Yeah. That's the perfect way to put it, Melissa. Yes. I do like the idea too of like using these and when these words come up in like titles of movies, like sudden impact as a movie title, that's pretty good. Sudden effect.
We need a new movie title.
Yeah. Sudden effect. Doesn't hit the same, doesn't it?
No. That meteorite hitting the Earth, yeah, that's not an effect. That is literally an impact.
Another one here, at the end of the day. So this one is a phrase. You know, at the end of the day.
What's wrong with that phrase?
I like that one. I'm not stopping that. I don't care what anybody says. I say that every once in a while. I'm not stopping that one.
I don't think I've ever heard it overused. Who's overusing that?
Personally, I think at the end of the day, it makes sense to use at the end of the day. Often.
What are we doing at the end of the day today?
Yeah.
It's part of normal speech.
Yeah. By the way, everybody, 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Anytime we are, the mics are on, you guys are welcome to call up and join the conversation.
Yes, please.
And I bring that up in part because of this next one, because this is the one to me that I personally don't really have a feeling about, but everybody I see, especially a lot of the younger students that I have, they want this word done. Riz. Even though it was recently named the word of the year by the Oxford University Press, it's basically a shortened word for charisma.
Oh, I forgot that already.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I literally had to read it to remind myself. Yeah.
I haven't even heard that word used besides us talking about it on the radio. I've never even heard it.
The only time I've heard it is when people are complaining about the word. Yeah, that's the only time I've ever heard anybody use the word is to complain about the word riz. I've never heard anybody actually use it in a real sentence or anything. Yeah.
So it was gone before it was even popular, apparently.
It seems like it, yeah. Slay. Slay is another one. A lot of people have been using that. She's really slaying in that. Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you. Okay, thank you. I thought that too, but I wasn't going to say it.
That song really slays, man.
Yeah, that's an older one, I thought.
Yeah, that was around in the 80s.
So these next two, I think, are the same, in the same breath as that. Slay and iconic. I think iconic's been used for a long time too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get. Maybe not into the pop. I mean, it's a useful word.
Yeah.
But I guess, is it being just misused to the point of losing its meaning?
Yeah. Cringeworthy. Another one that people are. The casual use.
Yeah, that one can go away.
Yeah, that could definitely go away. Yeah. Especially because most of the things that are this, you don't need the words cringeworthy. The image or the video already makes it, you already are cringing.
You're cringing.
Yeah. It doesn't
need the label of this is cringeworthy. Oh, let me watch that then so I can cringe. What?
It reminds me of one of my favorite lines in a comedy. Allow myself to introduce myself. It's one of those things. You don't need to. It's overdoing it.
Yes, it's redundant.
Obsessed. The casual use of obsessed to describe routine interests. But I am so obsessed with this chocolate milk. It is so amazing. I love this chocolate milk.
It seems like a 70s thing.
Yeah, it does kind of seem like that, yeah.
But I guess... because of the connotations of that word, where, we have, I would say that kind of infringes on actual mental disability or mental situations where people have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that is misusing the term in a way that hurts that group of people. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. I think that it's one of those things that... It goes back to using words by their definition and sticking to that as a society. We need to do more of that. It's important.
It's calling people a rock star when they're not really a rock star. And I was guilty of this too. I said, well, I'm OCD about this, mm-hmm. which I'm not. I do not have obsessive compulsive disorder. Do I sometimes focus on things a little more than I need to? Yes. But I'm not. I don't have the clinical definition of OCD.
Mm-hmm. None of these things happen overnight. And I think we're all guilty of some of this. I certainly am. I know plenty of people in my life that are. It takes time to, kind of rewire our brains, to rewire our society, to kind of get back to this. Especially, we've spent the last 6-7 years with words not really meaning what they're supposed to mean, or different, and both political parties do this. I'm not picking on either side. Political parties taking a word and, well, okay, You know, you're going to take snowflake? Well, we're going to take it and make it mean this. Oh, you have woke? We're going to take it and mean this. And we've gotten so muddied with all of this. And notice, I didn't bring up anything like that with that are actual like topics that we hire politicians to do the job of. Like, there's so much of politics nowadays that are they're doing things and they're talking about things that have nothing to do with what they're supposed
they
to be doing.
They
don't matter. I don't care what 90% of what a politician thinks about this, or this. I don't care about any of those things. How about the stuff that we actually hired them to do? Like, that I care about. That
how
I want to know.
Them caring about what their constituents want.
Caring about the things we hired them to do the job we did they do they it's not about their thoughts, it's not about what they're a, in many ways they are a puppet. They are supposed to do what we're telling them to do.
Yes,
end of discussion.
And while we're on the topic of words, we could be disgruntled about this. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, but did you know that the word gruntled is actually a word?
Oh, no, I didn't know. Ooh.
I didn't either. And it was a meme I saw the other day. It's like gruntled is a word. And it's something you're excited about something as opposed to upset about something as you are disgruntled. But I've never used the word gruntled.
I've never used. That's interesting. That's very, very interesting. Wow, I love that. I also love when I learn things from memes. Hilarious. It's hilarious. The other two names, the other two things they have on this list, side hustle.
I don't know. I think that one's still accurate because we all still need to do that to make a living wage.
I know I'm not stopping using that. That to me, that's I have a I'm. I can't see any point in my life where I'm not going to have a side hustle. I'm certainly not going to stop using it.
And whether it's for need or for enjoyment.
Right, right.
You know, my side hustle is making bread to sell at the farmer's market. It's not. Some people's would be. But, you know, like something like that, that you enjoy, that brings enrichment to your life, but also to your pocketbook.
And wait for it. Yep, wait for it. That's the words. That's the last one on the list. Wait for it.
Really?
If you're watching a video, then we're already waiting for it, right? Plus, overhyping something undercuts the payoff.
Yep.
Wait
till the end.
Yeah.
Wait till the end, and I'm out.
This is one of those ones that I'm not horrible at, but I can even be better about. It's a 2-minute video, and you're really just waiting for that last 20 seconds. But it doesn't make sense, and the payoff's not going to be there without that other minute 30 or whatever. So you just got to be patient. You just got to zip your mouth and be patient and let it play out. I think that one of the things that helps being an empath, actually, in this situation, when it comes to that, I want them to have the same experience I just had, and nobody was talking when I had the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, shutting your mouth for a little bit and let the video play out. It's only a minute. Let it play.
But I agree to a point, but make sure that it's worth it.
Yeah.
If you're going to use those words, make it worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah.
To wait for it.
That's a good point. We will get to our local and state news when we come back. 10 things we learned about our human ancestors in 2023. It's coming up on The Morning Show with Melissa and James here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More babies were born in Wisconsin in the year and a half no abortions were performed in the state. The IZA Institute of Labor Economics says Wisconsin's birth rate went up 2.5% while Planned Parenthood paused abortions. Abortions resumed after a Madison judge ruled that consensual abortions are legal in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's minimum wage remains at $7.25, while 22 other states raised their baseline pay this week. Economists say raising the minimum wage can actually be good for a business's bottom line.
There's actually a payoff that employers are receiving because while they've raised the wage, they're also reducing costs associated with turnover and open positions that they can't fill.
Laura Dresser studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Registration is open now for the 2024 Polar Plunge to raise money for Special Olympics. It's at Anchor Bay Bar and Grill on Saturday, February 3rd. You can register by going to SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. The Stevens Point Wedding Expo is January 7th from 10 to 2. Workshops start at 9 a.m. where you can learn best practices for budgets, timelines, floral arrangements, and much more from local wedding vendors. Tickets are $10 and available at the door. The expo will be at the Lee Sherman Dreyfuss University Center on Sunday. Beginning this weekend, the Wildwood Park and Zoo in Marshfield is extending their weekend hours. They'll be open on Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 to 2:30 instead of closing at 11:30. So starting January 6th, they'll be open 7 days a week, 7:30 to 2:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress. Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-botted dad to eat more plants. For the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing drizzle chances early, flipping to flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. Right now, it's 30.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk hotter than a match.
Melissa and James here with you. It's not hot, and it's not the city that we're broadcasting from, but yeah, it works.
Neither of those are true.
It's okay. It's a good song. It's a good song. We're diving into a fun one right now, and I always appreciate when Melissa, Seth, even Pam sends us stories and different topics for our segments for our show here. We can never have enough content, as I have found in the last 2 weeks of every year that I've ever done this show. You can always use more to do. And this one's a fun one, Melissa. I had not come across anything like this, and I dove into this one head first. I enjoyed this whole entire article. I want to encourage people to check out the article. LiveScience.com. LiveScience.com is where we got this from. And Laura Geggle, I think it is.
Sure. Yeah. Giggle.
Giggle. Yeah. I think giggle. I like
or
giggle. Gagal. However it is. Laura, nice work. And thank you for the article, for the great writing that you did on this one. Humans are everywhere nowadays, but Homo sapiens and our close relatives weren't so widespread in the past. In fact, the ancestors of modern humans nearly went extinct just under 1 million years ago.
Lucky to be here.
Here is a look back at 10 major findings about humans and our close active relatives from 2023. That's what we learned about evolution.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fun rabbit hole to dive down. And let's start right with their ancestors of modern humans nearly went extinct. I don't think this is common knowledge by any means.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Well, for more than 100,000 years, our numbers hovered around 1,300 individuals. That's not very many compared to our current population of 8.1 billion people.
That's crazy. Scientists uncovered humans' brush with extinction by looking at the genomes of more than 3,150 modern-day humans from both Africa and non-African populations. An analytic tool helped them investigate the diversity of today's genetic sequences. Work backwards from there.
Yeah, they lost 98.7% of their breeding population. I like how she ends it. Talk about a small dating pool.
Yeah. No, you can't complain about the dating pool wherever you are now. It's a lot better
There's
than it used
to. More than 1,300 people.
That is fascinating. I didn't know that. I didn't know that we... Yeah.
I didn't either.
I think of I think many of us have heard many times about where our planet is in the solar system and how it's in the perfect spot for all of this to work. An inch here, an inch there, and this planet's dormant. Nothing's growing on it.
Right. No life.
That's amazing to me. I've never been able to know, since I learned that, I don't know when I did, it was years and years ago. It has never been normalized in my brain. That always just stays there. I think that will now, too, that extinction line. Human relatives crafted wood 476,000 years ago.
Ooh.
We've been doing this a long time, wood crafters.
And not only that, it was notched like a Lincoln log.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They found a wooden construction crafted by one of our ancient human relatives that they notched together.
Wow. Side note, Lincoln Logs, one of the most underrated toys ever. Awesome toys.
I still love playing those.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yes.
But there's never enough roof pieces.
Thank you. You never got enough roof pieces. I was just the little plastic roof.
You put the rafters on there, but there's never enough slats to cover the whole roof.
My G.I. Joe guys had so many log cabins that had no roof. No yep. roof. What did
but
they do in the
easy
winter?
To get in and out of.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. It is funny. There was never doors. I never made a door on any of the things I made. They just put them in there.
Because there's no way to do that.
That's true.
Lincoln log sets don't come with like hinges.
Human beings are intelligent and creative and smart, and we have figured out ways to use the products around us, the things around us, for many years. In Zimbabwe found the oldest known wooden construction crafted by an ancient human relative, a 4,760-year-old structure. That's amazing.
The problem is that wood typically doesn't survive. 400,000 years.
Right.
Unless it's in the perfect, perfect conditions.
Really has to be.
So
really.
The fact that they found that is just fascinating.
A 300,000-year-old jawbone comes from an unknown lineage.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is very interesting to me. This jawbone may come from an unknown human lineage, according to a study in the Journal of Human Evolution. The jawbone found in East Central China belonged to a young teenager who had an unusual mosaic of ancient and modern characteristics.
Yeah, so it had a modern human-like face, but their skull looked like that of the early Homo sapiens.
That's really, really interesting.
So there could have been another lineage of humans developing that died out completely.
Now, there's a topic that seems really, really interesting to dive down of this gray area that's there. We've all seen the Neanderthal man evolving to the human being of today. And we understand, I think most of us, that there's a gray area in there. I think that part is where I'd like to see a lot more. Not that there isn't already being done, but I'm looking forward to seeing the results of the work that's being done on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Two distinct African groups gave rise to modern humans.
Okay.
That's an interesting one, too.
Another talk about lineage.
Mm-hmm. Before modern humans came onto the scene at least 300,000 years ago, our ancestors consisted of two distinct but closely related groups that lived in Africa. A study found in the journal Nature that they were known as the Hatfields and McCoys. No, that's not true. That's not. People within them continue to mate with the other group over time.
Mm.
So it's... Like, I don't know why they did this, but it feels pretty safe to say, and, you know, it's assuming, I admit, but that they even understood back then, hey, this isn't going to work if we keep the gene pool the same in the same gene pool here.
We need to have some mixers. Let's all get together and throw a party.
And thus, the first mixer was born.
Icebreakers. It's got a whole new meaning.
Yeah, very different meaning. modern humans migrated to Europe in three waves.
Oh.
One of my favorite rabbit holes to go down since I was a little kid is Pangea. And
how the Earth formed.
Yeah, yeah. And the idea that... So the world is... All these continents are connected at one point. And mm-hmm. as that's going on, human beings are going to move. Hey, we ran out of food here. Hey, it's too cold here. Hey, it's too hot here. Let's move. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot easier because, of course, we don't have boats, cars, you know, all these things that help us travel.
No planes, trains, and automobiles.
Right. So thank goodness that the continents are connected and people can spread out. But as they spread out, those continents begin to move and they, you know, it is where it is now. And I just find this as maybe the most interesting point in all of the Earth's history is this moment in time, that right there, and how that all formed and happened. It's just so interesting going down that rabbit hole and looking into that.
Mm-hmm. And then what they said here is that, you know, for years we always thought that 42,000 years ago was when humans arrived in Europe, but they have found now evidence that there was another wave 45,000 years ago and 54,000 years ago.
Whew. Man, that's incredible.
It's a lot of time.
This next one, not to skate past it, but just to keep this moving, tiny fossil is from a 40,000-year-old mystery lineage. another one of these kind of like, oh, what's
questions?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
What was going on back then?
Europe's first permanent residents settled in Crimea.
Crimea. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The first modern humans set up shop in Europe, settling in Crimea around 37,000 years ago, a study from Natural Ecology and Evolution found.
It's interesting.
Unknown hunter-gatherer lineage discovered as well in the last year. The largest study to date on prehistoric European hunter-gatherer genomes has revealed a previously unknown lineage of European hunter-gatherers from the last ice age.
Hmm.
Wow.
You know, and I wonder as, and sadly this is, you know, as that more ice melts up there, I know that they are finding more things that they just, you know, are being unearthed because of the ice melting.
Yeah.
So I wonder what's to come because that ice is continuing to melt.
And, you know, there's a fascinating part of that and there's a frustrating part of that, right?
Mm-hmm. A little bit scary part of that too.
Right. Yes. Yes. Very much. Let's see. And the first Americans, let's talk about some of the first humans to venture into the Americas during the last ice age hailed from China. A DNA study in the journal of Cell Reports found.
Wow. Yeah. Parts of this ancient group appear to have migrated to Japan, too.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
Clearing up the mystery of why there's similarities in the artifacts of Chinese, indigenous Americans, and indigenous Japanese people.
I've long wondered about that. And here we're finally starting to get some answers why that is. very interesting.
Our way, 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 way back great, 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 great grandparents.
It's almost as if we're all alike and we're all the same, that our differences only bring us closer and make us more alike.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the truth?
And we wrap up with Siberian population vanishes.
Hmm.
A previously unknown group of hunter-gatherers that trekked through Siberia more than 10,000 years ago aren't with us anymore. They vanished, a study in the journal Current Biology found. Really interesting.
Yeah. And the fact that a whole group of people, I mean, you think about how big the Earth is, and that there weren't as many, you know, obviously we're hugely populated now, but there are still vast areas, a space of land where you can just go missing. It happens all the time to lose a whole group at the same time. That's crazy.
I think, you know, any history nerd out there like myself is going to tell you about the fall of Greece, the fall of Rome, the Mayan civilization, some of those things. I think on another level, there's the Roanoke in Virginia, the famous story of that I think is, like my like many people out there, myself as well, has fascinated many of us for many, many years. What happened here? Why did this whole entire town just go missing? it's a fascinating tale. But this is a little, this one, I don't know if the story is as fascinating to people, but it's just as noteworthy. It's just as interesting. Wow.
And I think it's just because we don't know as much about it, and more we uncover with these discoveries and learning more about what happened, then I find it fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It adds to this whole tapestry of life and understanding ourselves more. It's also just really interesting and cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. And people traveled around the earth, even where it was frozen.
Big shout out to you, Melissa. Thank you so much for sending that article to us. That is a good one.
Interesting article.
That's a good one. Take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year.
At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay, smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing drizzle chances early, flipping to flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. Right now, it's 30.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Little Dave Matthews to play us in.
What a good guitar bumpers today.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It's been nice. It's been nice. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. We're going to have a good one. We'll have the gang together. Melissa and Seth will be hanging out with us. And we're going to have some fun getting your morning started. Serious comedy to start your day. Going to be a good one.
Yeah, Seth's back.
Looking forward to diving into that.
That'll be fun.
We haven't had a That Ain't Right story in a while. Let's go ahead and get into one here. Last week, United Airlines got on social media and hyped, big time hyped, a flight from Guam to Hawaii that offered people two New Year's celebrations. It was supposed to take off from Guam at 7:35 on New Year's Day, cross the international dateline, and land in Honolulu at 6:50 p.m. on New Year's Eve, so they'd get a second countdown. It's kind of cool.
It sounds cool.
I would have done something like this. I also would have known how flights work. Sadly, it got delayed more than 6 hours and didn't land in Honolulu until 12:34 a.m., so they missed the second countdown by 35 minutes.
Oops.
Some of the passengers had only bought tickets for the double New Year. United even promoted it on December 28th, saying, "You only live once, but you can celebrate New Year's Eve twice." So it ended up being a big waste of money. Hmm. People on a few other flights had more luck. A Cathay Pacific Airways flight from Hong Kong to San Francisco landed in time for a second New Year. So did an All Nippon Airways flight from Tokyo to L.A.
Okay.
If you have never flown before, I could see how you might have been duped by this. If you have flown even once in your lifetime, I don't know how you didn't go into this thinking, okay, there could be delays. This might not happen. At the same
time. But I'll bet you that airline didn't refund anybody.
Right. I was just going to say, at the same time, you as an airline, and what happened to, you know, the false advertising and we need to get back to that again. It's very similar to our conversation about words meaning what they're supposed to mean. Mm-hmm. Holding companies accountable for these things is very important.
You shouldn't always have to include small print. You shouldn't always have to, like, okay, here's our offer, and then find a way to pause your television, although you can do that now. Years back, you couldn't. Mm-hmm. Pause your television and read the block of small print text at the bottom of the screen. Wait, I'll wait until you get your magnifying glass.
Right. I understand that companies and businesses, I understand how business works. I know the world. I'm an adult. But I don't understand why you can't let your product just stand for what it is. Like, if your product's good enough, you don't need to. Companies seem to always be looking for ways to kind of shortcut their people, their consumers, their customers.
Pull one over on them.
That seems the opposite.
They can do it to get their money.
And that's the opposite of good business. Look at the companies that actually survive and do well. Like, I'm not saying that they don't cut corners here and there, and they're perfect, institutions or anything like that. But most of them treat their customers right. That's how they stay in business.
Mm-hmm. Well, and those are the corporations and the companies that we need to keep supporting.
Right. Yeah. It goes a long way, and it's really. I mean, the future of consumerism is so much more about this. Where there's only more and more information accessible to people. There's only more and more people. I mean, when's the last time you saw somebody pick something up and not look at the ingredients? You know, it's only becoming more and more that way.
People have a right to be informed, and they want to be informed.
We need a palate cleanser. Let's take a look at our good stories of the day. And first up is our lineup for the Midday Magazine today. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4. Sheriff Sean Becker will be in. He's bringing his daughter Jordan with us. I was just going to say he's bringing his Jordan daughter with him. He's going to get a kick out of that. We're going to have a fun conversation. Sean and I got a couple things I want to ask Sean, and I'm sure he has plenty of things to bring to the table. And we'll get to talk to Jordan a little bit as well.
Oh, great.
We'll also have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. Encourage you to support them. Go to YouTube and subscribe to their page. Keep up with date and all the great work they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's a ball night, Melissa. Tonight we got men's basketball Big Ten matchup with the Badger men's team taking off against Iowa. It's going to be a good one. 5 o'clock, our pregame will kick off for that. Mm-hmm. Gonna be a good one.
Basketball.
Usually on Wednesdays, this is where we do our bingo bit, where, you know, bingo and all that.
But there's no bingo today.
Yep. There will be no bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge today. Also keep in mind, if school is ever canceled, then bingo is also canceled. That's something else to keep in mind to all of our bingo friends out there. We do say a shout out to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693, doing amazing work in our community.
And they'll be back on the 10th.
Yeah.
Or bingo on Wednesday.
You got an opportunity to be a superhero. You can give blood over on January 5th from 9 to 1 at the VFW Post 2534 in Wisconsin Rapids. You can schedule an appointment to be a priority donor by calling 877-232-4376, 877-232-4376. And encourage you to go to diversity.org. If you go there and you scan their QR code, you're going to get in on a chance to win an SUV.
I was going to say, isn't there a sign up for some, you can win something, an SUV.
Yeah. Donate blood and be entered. Yeah. Donate blood and be entered to chance to win an SUV. How'd you like to be able to say, I went and donated blood and I got a car.
And I got a car.
It's pretty cool.
best hour of my life.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And you can feel good about giving back.
Yes. Save the lives of up to three people by just one donation.
We encourage you to give back and volunteer whenever you have an opportunity. And our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties have plenty of great opportunities, including one coming up. They're looking for people to help with their homeless point and time count.
Yes.
The PIT count will begin at 11 p.m. at night on Wednesday, January 24th, and wrap up early in the early hours of Thursday. Volunteers will meet at North Central Community Action. There will be other people with you. You will not be alone in this.
And you'll get some training to know what you're doing.
Yeah. If you are interested, I encourage you to contact our good friend Ben Eberlein at the United Way by calling 715-421-0390, 421-0390. You can also email ben@uwswac.org. And find out more at their website, uwswac.org. Mm-hmm. Great show today, Melissa. Thank you so much for a fun show.
It was a lot of fun, James.
Looking forward to hanging out with all of you again tomorrow, everybody. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We'll be in the morning sunrise show from 7 to 8 over on WIRI. And then we'll be back here on WFHR from 8 to 10. Looking forward to hanging out with you then. Have a good day, Melissa.
You too.
Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at, oh, Pam, you do it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248.